very good morning to you all. Good morning, church. Welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. We know that some of us are worshiping via Zoom, and others will be listening to our service afterwards from our website. You are all welcome. After the service, you are invited to teas and coffees, and I'm sure sometimes biscuits and cakes. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 44, verse 1 to 8. We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what you did in their days, in days long ago. With your hand, you drove out the nations and planted our fathers. You crushed the peoples and made our fathers flourish. It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them. You are my King and my God, who decrees victories for Jacob. Through you we push back our enemies. Through your name we trample our foes. I do not trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me victory. But you give us victory over our enemies. You put our adversaries to shame. In God we make our boast all day long, and we will praise your name forever. Let us worship God. And our first hymn, Immortal, Invisible God, Only Wise. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather in worship and glorification of your holy name this morning, we invite your Spirit to take control of our time together, to move among us, and to fill this place with your divine presence. Lord, we acknowledge that each of us comes bearing our own burdens, secret sorrows, and silent hopes. We pray for your comforting hand to be upon all who have gathered here, lifting the weight from our shoulders and replacing it with your peace that surpasses all understanding. May those who are weary find rest in you, and may the hearts that are heavy be lightened by your love. Father, we confess our sins to you, those we have committed knowingly and those we have committed unknowingly. In our thoughts, our words, and our actions, we have fallen short of your glory. We have also failed in what we have not done, opportunities for kindness left untouched, and calls to serve you and others ignored. Forgive us, Lord, for these transgressions and cleanse our hearts with your mercy. May your word today not only instruct us but transform us, making our lives impactful and meaningful both to those around us and to the society we live in. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next theme, and there are actually two in succession, Light of the World, Here I Am to Worship, and we will continue with Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. Thank you.
Our first reading this morning is taken from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2, reading from verses 1 to 7, and can be found on page 831 of the Pew Bible or followed on the overhead. Ezekiel's call. He said to me, "Son of man, stand upon your feet, and I will speak to you." As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says.' And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you, and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious." Our second reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 4, reading verses 12 to 13, and it can be found on page 1203 of the Pew Bible or followed on the overhead. "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. We continue in worship by singing hymn 448, "Lord, the light of your word is shining."
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. My text for reflection today is from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 to 8. Hebrews 6, 4 to 8. I will read that text to you, and after that we will have the anthem, which we missed earlier on. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away to be brought back to repentance. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to whom it is farmed, receives the blessings of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being crushed. In the end, it will be burned. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, as we seek to encounter your truth, we ask for your spirit of wisdom and revelation to illuminate our minds and our hearts. In this sacred moment, clear away any distractions or burdens that may hinder us from hearing your voice. May the light of your understanding shine upon us, revealing the depths of your love, the breadth of your mercy, and the height of your wisdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. I want to reflect with you this morning on the theme perseverance, repentance, and fruitfulness. In his book, The Death of Christian Britain, Understanding Secularization, 1800 to 2000, first published, I think, in 2001 by Routledge, Callum G. Brown suggests that the rapid decline of Christianity in Britain during the late 20th century was not a gradual process extending from the Enlightenment, but rather a relatively recent phenomenon of the 1960s. Brown argues that this decline was sharply accelerated by profound cultural changes, including shifts in attitudes towards gender, sexuality, and identity, rather than just theological or intellectual challenges. He suggests that these social and cultural transformations led to a significant erosion of traditional Christian practices, beliefs, and values within British society. Brown's analysis is grounded in the theory of secularization, which describes the process by which religious institutions, practices, and beliefs lose their social significance. He emphasizes the role of personal belief and internal life of faith, noting that the decline of Christianity as a lived religion in Britain was marked by a move away from Christian morality and an embrace of secular moral values. This transformation, according to Brown, reflects a broader shift towards individualism and away from the communal and institutional experience of religion. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there is a relationship between Brown's thesis and Hebrews 6, verse 4 to 8, because they both involve considerations of the themes of faith, apostasy, and the consequences of falling away from religious belief and practice. Hebrews 6, 4 to 8 warns of the dangers and irreversible consequences of apostasy. It underscores the seriousness of abandoning one's faith after having experienced the transformative power of the Holy Spirit and the teachings of God. But while Brown focuses on the sociocultural factors contributing to the secularization of Britain, Hebrews addresses the spiritual and moral implications of turning away from the faith. Both perspectives, though from vastly different contexts and methodologies, highlight the transformative impact of faith on individuals and communities, as well as the profound loss encountered when that faith is diminished or discarded. The relevance of Hebrews 6 to Brown's thesis lies in the biblical passage's emphasis on the importance of perseverance in faith and the peril of neglecting spiritual commitment. It can serve as a theological reflection on the nature of faith in a secular age, inviting you and myself to consider the challenges of maintaining faith in a rapidly changing world. For those of us who continue to explore the reasons behind Christianity's decline in modern societies, Hebrews offers a lens through which to examine the spiritual dimensions of this phenomenon, suggesting that the vitality of faith is not only a matter of cultural relevance, but of spiritual fidelity and perseverance. It highlights the peril of falling away, the nature of true repentance, and the importance of fruitfulness in our Christian lives. There are three lessons one can learn from our passage this morning. The first is the peril of falling away. It warns of the gravity of turning away from our faith after fully experiencing the grace of God. Apostasy, or the act of abandoning one's faith, is a sobering concept. The scripture is clear about this. For those who have been enlightened and then fall away, it is impossible to be brought back to repentance. Why? Because in doing so, they are in essence crucifying the Son of God all over again. This brings us to a critical point of reflection. Are we allowing challenges, doubts, or the lure of our former lives to distance us from God? The call is for spiritual accountability, to persevere in our faith, recognizing the dangers of complacency and the irreversible consequences of turning our backs on the grace that saved us. Then secondly, it's about the nature of true repentance. Repentance is not merely a one-time act, but a lifelong journey of turning away from sin and turning towards God. It is about maintaining a relationship with God, characterized by a heart that continually seeks His presence and will. True repentance brings us into a deeper understanding of grace and judgment. While God's grace invites us into a relationship with Him, turning away after experiencing His fullness brings about a form of judgment, A separation from the love and grace that once enveloped us. This leads us to the importance of bearing fruit as evidence of our repentance and faith. Are our lives marked by the fruit of the Spirit? Or are we like the land that produces thorns and thistles, risking God's curse? The call to perseverance is not just about avoiding spiritual decline. It is about actively pursuing a life that reflects our repentance through our actions, our thoughts, and our interactions. And then finally is the importance of fruitfulness in the Christian life. Drawing from the agricultural metaphor in Hebrews, we see that a life soaked in the rain of God's word and spirit should naturally produce a crop that is useful to God. This fruitfulness is a testament to our faith and a blessing from God. However, unfruitfulness warns of a life at risk of being cursed and eventually burned. Now, as I bring this to a close, let me illustrate the essence of our text with a story. Elkanah grew up in a home where every morning dawned with a chorus of prayers. His family was not wealthy in material possessions, but rich in faith and spiritual favor. Sundays were sacred, marked by communal worship, and every day began with a prayer, instilling in Elkanah a sense of peace and purpose that was profound and palpable. Elkanah's transformation into a beacon of light was evident to all who knew him. He exuded joy, a sense of community, and an inner peace that indeed surpassed all understanding. This spiritual foundation carried him through the trials of his youth, providing a compass by which he navigated the storms of life. However, the winds of change began to blow as Elkanah stepped into a new chapter of his life. The university, with its vast sea of ideologies, and later a career in a prestigious firm, introduced him to worlds unimagined. The vibrancy of his faith was challenged, not by a singular event, but by a gradual erosion, a skipping of Sunday services for study sessions and sports. Morning prayers were replaced by hurried coffees, and spiritual readings were set aside for professional development. Elkanah's descent was not a plunge, but a slow drift. The allure of his newfound life, filled with success and recognition, gradually overshadowed the humble spiritual practices of his youth. Disappointments and failures further fueled his doubts, leading him to question the very foundation of his faith. The vibrant community he once cherished felt distant, replaced by a secular society where success was measured in material gains rather than spiritual growth. As Elkanah navigated through the complexities of his new world, he found himself in the shadows of the faith that once illuminated his path. The danger of falling away, a peril faced by many who have tasted the heavenly gift, became his reality. Elkanah's story was not unique, especially in secular Europe, where the Christian faith often competes with a myriad of secular philosophies. The societal indifference towards spirituality left him feeling isolated in his struggles, a far cry from the communal faith that nurtured him. But the story does not end in despair. True repentance began to stir within Elkanah's heart, not as a mere emotional response, but as a profound realization of his need for the divine. It was in his lowest moments, amidst the ruins of his neglected faith, that he encountered the unwavering grace of God. The journey back was not easy. It required humility, a surrendering of pride, and a recommitment to the practices that once brought him life. My dear Christian friends, Elkanah's story is a testament to the peril of falling away, the power of true repentance, and the importance of living a fruitful Christian life. It serves as a reminder that the light of faith, though it may flicker, is never extinguished, waiting to be rekindled in the hearts of those who seek it. And here lies our encouragement to grow. Let us be receptive to God's word, letting it nourish our souls and transform our lives. As we absorb his teachings and embody his spirit, we will naturally bear the fruits of a life lived in faithfulness to him. Today, I encourage you to reflect on your spiritual journey. Are you moving closer to God, or are you at a risk of drifting away? Let us support one another in our work of faith, motivated by the grace of God that enables us to remain faithful, the continuous call to repentance, and the pursuit of a faithful life in Christ. Let us trust that we will experience the grace of God and the care he provides to his people. As the prophet Isaiah once encouraged disappointed Israelites, he speaks again to us, assuring us that God is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, who does not grow tired or weary. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, soaring on wings like eagles, running without growing weary, and walking without fainting. And this passage from Isaiah 40 is a message of hope, renewal, and the boundless power of Almighty God. It assures us that despite our weaknesses and the impermanence of our lives, we can find strength and endurance through faith in the eternal and unchangeable God who loves us now and all the days of our life. Amen. Let us pray. Faithful and ever-living Father, we give you thanks for your word to us, which gives us life and renews our strength. And we confess, O Father, the times when we have been complacent in our walk with you. Bring us back to you, O Father, and enable us to live our lives in a way that honors you, bringing glory to your name in all that we do. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. We will sing again, this time, Before the Throne of God Above. It's hymn 466. Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering and let us intercede for ourselves and for the world. Gracious and loving God, in this moment of prayer, we unite our voices and our hearts to offer you our sincerest thanks for the countless blessings you have poured into our lives, for the beauty of your creation that surrounds us, for the gift of life and love, for the fellowship of believers, and for your unfailing presence in our lives. We say thank you, Lord. We're especially grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came into our world to show us the way to you, to teach us your truths, and to sacrifice himself for our salvation. For this gift of grace, unmerited and free, we offer you our deepest thanks. In this act of dedication, we also remember those who are in need, those who hunger, who suffer injustice, who live in fear, and who grieve. Use us, Lord, as instruments of your peace and providers of your provision. Let our lives bear witness to the love and mercy of Christ. For all that has been, we offer thanks. For all that will be, we say yes to your will with hearts full of hope and trust in your goodness. Together as your church, we dedicate ourselves to living out the gospel, being lights in the darkness and sowers of faith, hope, and love in a world that desperately needs to know you. Heavenly Father, we come before you with thanksgiving, recognizing the multitude of blessings you have showered upon us. We are grateful for your unfailing love, your mercies that are new every morning, and the hope we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We acknowledge your sovereignty over all creation and submit ourselves to your will and guidance. In this moment, we lift up the events of our world, marked by wars and rumors of wars, political challenges and issues of governance. We pray for your peace to reign in places torn by conflict, for wisdom to be granted to the leaders of nations, that they may govern with justice and seek reconciliation over division. We ask for your intervention in the complex web of international relations, that understanding and cooperation may prevail over misunderstanding and conflict. We remember those who suffer from the consequences of these global challenges, the families displaced by war, the communities shattered by violence, and the nations crippled by political strife. Lord, in your mercy, provide for their needs, heal their wounds, and restore their hope. We also bring before you the passing issues of justice and peace in our societies. Inspire us and our leaders to uphold the cause of the oppressed, to defend the rights of the vulnerable, and to work tirelessly for equity and peace in our communities. May your spirit move across our lands, breaking down walls of division and building bridges of understanding and compassion. In your boundless love, reach out to the less fortunate among us. We pray for effective and compassionate efforts in poverty alleviation, that all may have access to the basic necessities of life, food, shelter, and health care. Stir our hearts to generosity and action, that we may be your hands and feet in a world in need. Lord, we hold up to you those who are sick in body, mind, or spirit. Provide them with healing, comfort, and strength. Surround them with your presence and fill them with a peace that surpasses understanding. For those who mourn, we ask for your consolation and grace. May they find solace in your promises and hope of eternal life. We remember the saints who have gone before us, who have passed on to glory. We give thanks for their lives and their testimonies of faith. Comfort those who grieve their passing, reminding us of the great cloud of witnesses that surround us, encouraging us to run the race set before us with perseverance. As we look to the coming week, we pray for your guidance and blessing in our endeavors. May our achievements bring glory to your name and reflect the fruitfulness of lives lived in obedience to your word. Grant us the strength to face the challenges that come our way, relying not on our own strength, but on the power of your Spirit. Father, in all things, we seek to do your will and to live according to your purposes. May our lives be marked by the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control that come from your Spirit. Help us to remain steadfast in faith, diligent in service, and abundant in love. We offer these prayers in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Let us bring this service to its close, singing, "Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son," 419. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.